Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth, as always, is brought to you by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We're always actively involved in buying and selling all forms of precious metals and rare coins and scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, platinum, palladium. You name it. If it's compact and wealthy or of value, we're probably interested. We deal in diamonds. We have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry. We offer the highest rated privately held depository service in a very, very vastly large region. Probably top maybe 8 or 10 out of the nation like us. As far as a building built from the ground up specifically for this industry with the level of security that was put into this, I'm not familiar with many at all. So Coins Plus out of Spokane offers one of the most unique, finer facilities in the nation. We have a 20-year track record of quality customer service, treating customers right, trying to do things the right way. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. In every transaction, that's our goal. And we are a high-volume, low-margin dealer. And what that means is we're willing to move substantial amounts of product at very low profit margins because we're more interested in, you know, helping people out than maximizing our profits. A lot of companies in this industry really, they really have a profit motive. It's hard to explain or even express. I've been speaking with a guy lately about, well, a few guys about employment that come from different parts of the U.S. in this industry, and even Christian guys. They're just, the business has a lot of kinks in it. There's just a lot of companies out there that just operate differently, and we've just got this kind of down-home mentality that it is, it's worth what it's worth is how we see it. Everything's based on what we say, what's it worth? And what, when we say that, we mean liquid. What's it worth liquid? What can you liquidate it at? What's the dealer-to-dealer wholesale cost on it? That's what we sell to you based on. Everything we sell. Now, see, folks, one thing when it comes to coins and especially numismatic and semi-numismatic coins, they are a great investment. I mean, they really are a phenomenal investment. Where my objection comes in is a lot of these companies, they want these big markups because they get these people that get like a third of the profit margin. And so why would they sell you, you know, $100,000 portfolio with a, you know, $3,000 profit in it when they can make 30 grand? I'm not saying it's okay at all. It's just the nature of the beast. It's sad. I'm sorry, but it makes me uncomfortable telling stories about it. I had to deal with an old 20-year-old customer yesterday, and we were talking about an incident that happened with a local dealer many, many years back where some unscrupulous behaviors took place. And like I said to them, I mean, it makes me really... I feel bad. I feel bad and uncomfortable even talking about it, even though it wasn't us, because it's just our industry. It's people's experiences. It's people's money. It's really important to us, folks, that you do well. We win when you win. That's really how we believe. We have no desire to just make a profit. We have a desire to really help you do the right thing financially. Now, granted, markets move. There's nothing, you know, like hindsight to see buying opportunities. But I'll tell you right now, folks, I see the most awesome buying opportunity right now. The markets are just going nuts. Trump is behaving in a very populist fashion. And what that means is that he's favoring the people, the working class. And I mean, it's good, but it can become a little bit of a socialistic mentality. It's a political party that represents the interests of ordinary people. Okay, that's the concept of populist or populism. So that's great. The only thing is that if we it becomes, you know, the working class, which is fine. That's America. They need to be represented. But that's where you get into eventually the People's Republic of this and that. And don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Trump supporter. My only little bit of a concern is that I am probably more of a constitutional purist. And I think that we've far, far, far outgrown the intentions of our founding fathers in the Constitution for the size of government, the type of government. And I believe that we, you know, I guess Trump approaches it from the approach that, hey, it's a company, I got to run it. So he takes it at face value. Where is it at today? And that's what I'm going to deal with. That's very pragmatic. That is an exceptional business approach. That is, it's an idealistic business approach, and you have to respect that. But on the other hand, it's not transformational. In other words, he doesn't completely say, you know, we've overgrown this much. We need to cut back to certain levels. However, he has mentioned a 10% cutback in the size of government. I mean, I've never heard rhetoric from a candidate in my lifetime that I like as much as what comes out of Trump's mouth. He's tough, excuse the term, but he's got balls. The guy is brash. He's just brazen. And, you know, the Lord, I swear, picked this guy. He watches this guy. Even the people around him say there's something unique about his metabolism. He sleeps 3 hours a night. They said during his campaign, after the day that he flew and spoke at 5 different cities, they said afterwards he looked more fresh than he did in the morning. There is a ideal set of genetics in this man. He's got a passion that drives him. I'm no Trump, but I understand passion. I am driven by passion, and thank God for it. There's some people that just don't have passion. My dad just passed away here recently, and he had a passion for every day. He had a passion for friends. He had a passion for people. He just enjoyed life. And folks, there's a number of reasons that we can get yokes of burden on our lives to strip away our passion. It can be the way we're raised. It can be genetics. It can be, you know, activities in our lives, addictions that people struggle with. And I'll tell you, folks, it's important to understand God does not want you bound down, pulled down, and depressed. Realize that you are not holier. You are not paying a penance for mistakes of your past. The past is gone, okay? You're a new creation. Once God forgives us, he puts it behind us. We're the ones that won't let it go. We've made mistakes in the past, but what good can you do? As Christ himself said, who can add one stature or whatever he used to his life by worrying? None. And you cannot change the past. Christ also made it very clear. He said, the past is basically gone. You got to live in today. Tomorrow will come here, but you've got enough to deal with today. You can't change today. I'm sorry. You can't change yesterday or tomorrow. You can only change today. So if there's someone out there, people, if you're carrying around a burden of guilt, change. Use that energy to change. God gives us these emotions for a reason. Why? To propel us towards change. Not to beat ourselves up and be guilt-ridden. When you feel yourself get agitated or frustrated with a situation in your life, use that energy to change it. And change, folks, comes bit by bit, okay? So many people want to turn over a new leaf, you know, the New Year's resolution. They have shown over and over that this New Year's resolution concept fails, hands down, immediately, okay? We don't work that way. I mean, I'm not saying people can't do it, but drastic change is just abrupt to our lives. It's disruptive. So what you want to do is what they call Kaizen, which is a Japanese philosophy. Oh, no. Christian guys talking about Japanese philosophy. Now, don't, I mean, it's, there's wisdom that comes from all angles out there, folks. But the bottom line is simple, okay? Kaizen is a you're in a continuous state of change. That's who we want to be. Constantly in a state of change for the better, of improvement. So if you're held down, burdened down, stressed out, worried, overwhelmed, guilt-ridden, let it go. Let the past be the past. I'll tell you another thing, folks. I've got a situation in my family where a person just has, I don't know why, but this serious dysfunction with forgiveness. And it doesn't even have to be real events. That's the part of the delusion. And when people hate themselves and they're frustrated and angry with themselves, they so often want to blame it on external situations, issues, things of the past. And it does. It beats us up. But I'm telling you, forgive. I had my father pass away recently. Thank God. He was born again as a believer. And man, I'll tell you, I grew up tough. I was out of the house at a young age. Parents had deep issues, deep issues, and God rescued him from all that. But I'm just glad I don't have regrets. And I'm telling you, no matter what, life's too short. And to him who is, you know, much is forgiven, he who is forgiven much will love much. You need to love much. If you don't think you're forgiven much, you have an improper perspective of yourself, okay? You've got a little bit too much pride and arrogance. You don't understand your sin. You don't understand what we deserve. So forgive. By the way, you're listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. 444-0044 in Spokane, outside toll free. 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or the website at coinsplus.com. So as I said, folks, forgive. Let it go. How do you forgive? The way you forgive is you see through God's eyes. How do I see through God's eyes? You see the person who's harmed you or hurt you or whom you have a grudge against through God's eyes. And if you think that God is as disgusted with that person as you are, you're actually wrong. Because God sees brokenness, he sees needs, he sees pain, he sees suffering, he sees sorrow. If there's somebody in your life that you are just certain is the most wretched, rotten, terrible person, and they screwed up so bad, that's your perspective. God probably has a ton of sympathy for them. God does want them to be saved. God wants to bring them into his fold. He accepts the wretched. And it's not for us to worry about anyway. We need to see when people behave in notoriously terrible ways, and trust me, you're not alone if you've had those kinds of experiences. I have too. There's motivation behind it. There's a reason why people behave like that, because they have issues, okay? But it's not our job to point out all their issues. It's our job to forgive and love and begin to try to help and rebuild and heal. So the way you forgive is you see through God's eyes. You pray that God shows you what he sees, their needs. You pray, you pity them in a healthy way. You begin, you know, as like Christ said, pray for your enemies, you know, bless and do not curse them. Because a blessed enemy is no longer an enemy. An enemy who's been touched by God. A cursed person is a bad person, okay? Bad things happen around them. Bad things happen through them. If you people that you have issues with, you wish something that there'd be vindication. In some cases, God takes care of that. He says, vengeance is mine. Let him have it. It's not for us. It's hard. It takes patience. It's frustration. We don't see what's going on behind the scenes, and it never looks like we want it to look. Folks, you have to understand something. We're pretty harsh and rash. If something happens to us, We put ourselves on the highest pedestal. We do the how dare they. And then we want something bad to happen to them, and we want God to get even. If God reacted and responded in the way that every single one of us wanted, this world would be destroyed in the most heinous, destructive way. You have enemies, they have enemies, down the road it goes, okay? And that's, just be thankful God doesn't react like we do, and then he doesn't hold grudges like we do. God's truly righteous and holy and just and fair, and he sees balance, and he has patience, just as the fruits of the Spirit say. He's got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. You know, all those fruits of the Spirit, this is what we need to extend as believers. So no, if God reacted and responded the way we want, holy moly, would this place be bad, because we're broken, fallen sinners. So don't think that way. Be glad for God's grace, because you have to multiply your emotion and your experience times every human on earth. Along those similar lines, you know, I get a lot of these comments with people about, well, you know, because I don't know why, God talk, okay? In fact, I want to talk about God talk and God block. First of all, God talk. Because people know that I do what I do, I get a lot of questions about God. And the number one question people come up with who don't believe in God is, why would a loving God do this? Why would a loving God allow this? Why this? Why that? So you got twofold answer. You got natural disaster and human-caused disaster. Okay? Now, first we'll deal with I'll talk about human-caused disaster. For God to be truly sovereign, for us to choose him for eternity, he has to give us free will. And in that case, it's not God that's allowing things, it's man that's causing things. And they say, oh, but if God were all-powerful, he wouldn't allow those things to happen. He would control them. If that were the case, we'd no longer have free will, would we? And he would no longer be completely sovereign, because sovereignty is the only state that allows freedom. If you're fully in control, you can give full autonomy. So he lets us go, he lets us do, he lets us cause. And things that are the most alarming, heinous, terrible, unbearable things in our lives, in our existence, and there are some heinous acts that take place on this earth, those are all part of the free will act, of the free will blessing and gift. And I guess what I'm saying is, God has a long-term view. This is but a blip. Our existence on earth is but a blip in the time frame of eternity. This is a trial period. This is the testing period. This is where the Navy SEALs go for 12 weeks before they become lifelong SEALs. This is where we're tested and tried, and we're put through, and we find out what we're made of and who can make it and who can't as a believer. And then from there, God propels us and lifts us up, first on this earth and then in heaven. And yes, there's differences in heaven and responsibilities and all kinds of things. There's a whole different set of series and circumstances and awards and rewards. But God allows free will. He has to. That's who he is. That's the system he set up. That's the game he plays. We are not puppets, as the Muslims say Allah is, the puppet master. We are not obeying, serving, worshiping a puppet master God. We have free will. When man does bad, it's his choice. Now, you get into but what about what he allows and what he causes? Can God protect you? Absolutely. I mean, anything is possible and anything is impossible in God's eyes, depending on. So we have to allow him to be God, and we have to pray. And just because we go through something that seems hard for us and difficult and unfair doesn't mean it's bad. There's, you know, people are like, God, why are you doing this to me? And I agree, why sometimes? It makes us better people. We have to remember, when it comes to the physical flesh and our financial pocketbook, that's not where God, you know, that's not his first priority. We have to realize that he wants us to be blessed. I believe that. I'm not a health and wealther. I'm not a name it and claim it guy. But why would God want us to be miserable and poor and sick and dependent on others? Why would it say the wicked store up their wealth for the righteous? I don't believe that God wants us broken, but and fallen that way. I think he wants to restore us to a positive state. I think a lot of times he has to put us through a lot to get us to the point to where we're prepared, where he who is given little will, you know, he who is faithful with little will receive much, and to him whose much is given, much will be required. But I do believe that God wants to bless us financially. But for each one of us, that has different meaning. On a global basis, being on welfare here in America is a financial blessing. If you're from Nairobi and you've grown up in the desert, being on welfare in America is an absolute blessing. Okay, so it's all relative. But the bottom line is, we are God's, and we have to submit and yield our lives to him and trust him, and we have to do the best. We really do have to do the best out of appreciation and love for him. We've got to serve him in all our actions. When it comes to the God block, and I'll go back and talk about natural disasters, it's simple. You know, with natural disasters like the tsunami that happened years back, where 250,000 people died, and people go, why would God allow this? Why would God cause this? Why God, why this? Well, the bottom line is, folks, we're in a fallen world, okay? We know the laws of physics are underway. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has been broken by sin, that is in a constant state of decomposition. The second law of thermodynamics. All things are constantly moving to a state of chaos or disorder, period. So we know that we live like that. We go all the way back in the Bible to the flood. After the flood, the days of Peleg, the earth was being divided up because of the tectonic plate shifting. We're going to see these kinds of things. However, the earth belongs to God and all that is in it. The rocks cry out. When unholy acts are taking place in certain areas, the land becomes cursed. When good things are taking place, the land becomes blessed. Look at Jerusalem, God's chosen people's home. Yes, it's been ups and downs and sideways, but it's still there. In Indonesia, where that big tsunami hit, was an area of one of the most heavily concentrated Islamic areas on earth. It served to scatter people. Many people moved all over the globe. It may have been God's way of beginning to disperse those people, unfortunately, to head us into end times. I really firmly believe that Islam is the religious fuel behind the Antichrist and the end times of the Bible. I do have a friend I trust and respect very much who's got a level of spiritual insight I cannot even describe. For example, he's in Arizona, and when my dad fell, and I flew him to Harborview, and I just had gotten there a couple days where I just had settled down. Finally, I went 3 days without sleep. I got some sleep, and right afterwards, I get a text from him that says, hey, I have a real strong feeling something's happening to your family. Is there something I can pray for or do for you? He's done this on numerous occasions. So that where I'm going with this is, this guy, he's a prayer warrior. He set aside some time, came up here for about a week, and just went into deep prayer. And he felt that God told him that Hillary was going to win, and that God showed his mercy and grace by allowing Trump to win. in response to people's prayers, to the prayer of the believer. And I know I personally prayed. I begged God, please, 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 literally, don't let her win or whatever, let him win. So God can extend grace. We know the book. We know the ending. We know all that. But we don't understand God's timing. And there's so many things where he's like, until, you know, the number of Gentiles is fulfilled, this process will basically continue. We don't know when that is or what that is. And the Bible talks about God's forbearance and grace. We can change the course of history through prayer. I mean, it's a fact. We don't even know. This is crazy, but when I was studying mathematics, it's easy to prove there's multiple. You can mathematically prove there's multiple dimensions beyond where we exist, without a doubt. You can also prove that time is a continuum. We're limited in going backwards. Think of it as a ratcheted, you know, road that each time you go over a ratchet, you can't go backwards. That's the way God made it. Click, 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 click. We go forward. We can't go backwards. We can technically look backwards in our memory, but we can't look forwards. There's something that blinds us from looking forward into time. So it's a continuum, which means that God's outside of it. So you could hypothetically have prayers answered that you never know were answered until you go to heaven. What do I mean? I'm going to give you a hypothetical. You or someone you know gets in a severe car accident. You're paralyzed. People pray and pray and pray, God, 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 please, you know, heal him, change him, help him. Now, so a lot of times God allows that stuff to exist for our faith, for his glory, for whatever. But just say hypothetically, how could he fix that? If God wants faith to endure, he wants faith to prevail. He sets everything up so it's faith. Don't ask me why. Because without faith, if he made it so blatantly obvious, we would not be choosing to be with him with our free will. It would be a no-brainer. It would be a fact. So say hypothetically somebody gets in an accident, they're paralyzed, they have heavy prayer around them, and they're healed. But here's what happens. Possibility, according to mathematical theory that I've seen relating to this, God changes the time, takes them back, takes us all back, rewrites the history. We never know it existed till we go to heaven and find out these things God did. I do believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see the most magnificent intertwined working model of what took place on this earth, especially for his children, his believers. It'll just be mind-boggling. We won't even, you know, be able to comprehend it there barely, but we're going to have eternity to take it in. We're going to know God loves us and God cared for us and God looked out for us. And we're going to see all the things he did that we don't know about. All the times he saved you and I from who knows what. So we have to live in faith. We've got to see with eyes of faith, okay? Now, I talked about what I called God talk and God block. Now, God talk is when people do the if God this, if God that, why would God do this, why would God do that? Well, it's pretty obvious he's God. And on that same topic, I remember a guy said to me one time, so, you know, the reason I don't like your God is because he's a wrathful God that casts people into hell. He goes, I refuse to worship a God like that. And I said, let me get this straight. You understand that our God, you can love him. You can come into his fold and be blessed by him and loved by him, protected, given comfort, transformed by him, or you can reject him and receive his wrath. And you're saying, because you don't like that system, you're going to choose to reject him and receive his wrath? You would rather do that than accept him and receive his grace and mercy? And he said, yes. And I said, you're a fool's fool. an absolute fool. Jesus said clearly, if you accept me before man, I'll accept you before my Father. If you reject me, I'll reject you. He gave us the scripture of the blasphemy as the only unforgivable sin. Blasphemy is the rejection, the wholesale rejection of God or the Holy Spirit and or one in the both. Period. If you reject God with your mouth, that means you can say, well, I don't know if he was ever a Christian. Well, the way you can tell if someone's not a Christian, there's probably plenty of ways, but one is they'll reject Jesus with their mouth. When someone rejects Christ with his mouth, they've got a problem. People are fallen sinners, you know, we make mistakes. One issue is, you know, people have this assurance of salvation, once saved, always saved. I don't understand that fully. I know there's things in the Bible that allude to it, and it may be very correct, and it may be very true. You know, it talks about us working out our salvation and all that stuff. And I realize we're saved by faith, not by works. It's not up to us. So many of us try to go back to our own works. I understand it's by faith, but I also understand some people seem to reject God after accepting him. I couldn't do that. I don't understand it. What happened in my life when I accepted Christ, I can't explain. My life was transformed. It's a level of personal experience and testimony that it's just irrefutable. People don't have to believe me. Just like I had a vision of heaven here a while ago. A lot, you know, I can tell people I've talked to, they don't believe me. I don't care. I know what I experienced. Second category I was going to talk about is what I call the God block. And here's how the God block says. I see it a lot in the younger generation in their 20s. God told me. I'm doing this because God told me. God told me he wants me here. God told me he wants me to do this. God told me this. God told me that. And then they go make stupid, foolish decisions. And I know God, I think. I have a strong financial, logical, analytical background. I read the book of Proverbs, etc. I'm not saying that I don't believe in miracles and the impossible at all. What I'm saying is when things directly contradict biblical wisdom and truths, I don't like the God. I don't, you know, the God block says, don't tell me, because when you think if someone says, God told me this, I'm doing this for God, I know it's for God, he told me. Who are you or who am I to stand in the way of God? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says over and over, you know, through wise counsel, you know, a man makes good decisions. Wise counsel is throughout the Bible. If we're not seeking wise counsel, again, we live by faith. God puts wise men on this earth to help us. God's given us a system where we need to rely on each other. We need to be intertwined and interlinked with one another to make these kinds of decisions, many of these decisions in our lives. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel, the Bible says. And then, you know, there's, you know, even God says, and you neglected my counsel and did not want my reproof. In other words, we didn't listen to what God had to say. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned my reproof. And it says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. So the God block is contrary to biblical principles where it says, listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. There is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. So basically, you can't find people. There's no, God's right. But the thing is the God block mentality. When you hear this, when someone says, God told me I'm doing this, it's a way to say, I'm going to do it my way. And you're not getting in my way. That is not wisdom. A wise man is open to reproof and correction and wisdom. He doesn't have to take it. but he's got to know how to listen to it. And if somebody has a hard time taking correction, guidance, wisdom, reproof, they're a fool and they're not walking with God. If they don't ask for it, if they don't welcome it. Now, I'm granted, I understand there's many fools in the world. As the Bible says, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing his own opinion. There's plenty of fools out there giving out all kinds of free advice all over the place that, you know, and they'll come up and hand it out unsolicited for free. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about seeking wise counsel from people with a proven track record that whose lifestyle shows they know what they're doing. A lot of times I see this stuff conflict with fathers. These younger men will have stuff going on with their fathers. You know, either they think, you know, they have certain perspectives, better or worse, and they're trying to fulfill that spot with God. So essentially, folks, the God block, when you hear it, God told me, it's not up for discussion. You know that person is not walking the walk. They need to be able to refine it and test it. Just as I said, when I spent years in banking and people would come to me with business ideas, God told them, good, let's sit down, let's hash it out. God wants you to do something. Just because it's God's will doesn't mean he's going to do it all for you. He may provide all the wisdom and guidance and resources, but let's open our eyes. So the God block is the new thing I see a lot of. People, you know, if you really could hear from God about everything all the time, what's the point of the Bible? What's the point of wise counsel? What's the point of prayer? After all, God just going to tell you everything, right? I mean, come on. It doesn't make sense. Our life here is by faith. It causes us to draw to one another, to gain wisdom. I dealt with a customer yesterday, been a customer about 20 years. He's got stuff that he's hoarded for 40. We bought a really nice batch of $20 gold pieces. Very, very nice. And sold quite a bit of them just yesterday. Probably have maybe 30 or 40 of them left. Right now, just as a side note, $20 gold pieces, Lord. $20 gold pieces, folks, those are the old U.S. gold standard 1 ounce. Okay, basically, now we have the 1 ounce gold eagle bullion coin. The double eagle $20 gold piece used to be the standard. It's an ounce of gold, basically. And that's when the standard was $20.67 an ounce. So there's 20 bucks worth of gold at that time. They are antique. They went through the confiscation, which I'm not big on the term confiscation, but it did take place where the government bought back all the metal. Once they hit about 80% of the metal being bought back at 20 bucks an ounce, they bumped the price of gold to $35, instantly making the government a lot of money and costing everybody 37.5% of the spending power of the dollar. Sad, but true. So the double eagle's been around forever. It basically went into holding or lack of spendership starting in the 30s. But they're amazing. They're beautiful. The St. Gaudens is one of them, the old $20 Liberty. Where I'm going with this is this. You got about an antique 100-plus-year-old 1 ounce gold coin. Gold today, just say hypothetically, is $1,200 an ounce. The American Gold Eagle, so say gold's $1,210. The American Gold Eagles are $1,270 an ounce. The antique $20 gold piece, antique, is like $1,280 an ounce. It's 10 bucks more. The premiums are so terribly low, it's not even funny. They are a tremendous, tremendous value. The biggest issue is I cannot keep them in stock. People absolutely tear them out of our hands. We've got maybe 25, 30 left, right in there, maybe more, maybe 40. I don't know. We bought 100 and some, and we sold a huge amount yesterday to an investor mostly. Silver dollars are the same way, folks. The old silver dollars are such a way to go. With the Trump bump in the markets, the old U.S. coins like silver dollars, they're just impossible to get. they quit making them. They're drying up. I don't know. If you're looking to get silver or invest at all, old U.S. silver dollars in bulk are a great way to go. I'm always huge on Carson City and Better Date Morgans. There's a lot of Morgan silver dollars that are key dates or better dates. They have proven to be hands down the single best investment you could ever imagine. Just absolutely dwarf Apple stock and Google and eBay and all that. Morgan silver dollars are the number one collectible in the world. They are the largest sector on eBay. And, of course, Carson Cities are the king of that. They have proven to be a continuous, ongoing, increasing asset. In addition to that, there are so many coins in different categories that have done so well. Ironically, we've got a hoard of the old U.S. large cents from the early 1800s. They're about the size of a 50-cent piece. That's what a solid copper one used to be, an old penny. 2-cent pieces, we got a hoard of those at the same time. We've got 3-cent nickels, Flying Eagle pennies. The very first small cent in 1857 was a Flying Eagle penny. They actually made them first in 1856, a very rare date. Only a couple thousand were made. But 57, they increased the mintage. Folks, these items, as ironic as it sounds, are incredible investments. A fine, which is not a real high-quality Flying Eagle penny, is about $40. When I got into this back in the 90s, mid-early 90s, they were $5 or $6. And they didn't just explode in value and stay there. They continue to climb. There's a whole bunch of stuff like this. And so we can sell like a roll of those to people. When we build portfolios, we'll do, you know, the primary girth of the investment is precious metals. The secondary quantity is semi-numismatic. That's the $20 gold piece I was just talking about. That's like old silver dollars. At the top of this pyramid that we draw is the numismatic. That's where we get into things that are a little more exotic, a little more exclusive. But we know the market. We absolutely hand select things that have a track record of performance. Do not get fooled into thinking that all old coins are a good investment. We do know the industry. I am a collector at heart. I'm an investor collector, have been for decades. I'm telling you, we build a mean portfolio. We really do. Our clients just do well. As far as buying stuff and putting it away, that's when it just excels. I see people every now and then that'll bring in or liquidate stuff I sold them in the 90s. Unbelievable. I mean, just awe-inspiring. The gains of 6, 7, 8 times their investment. I love it. I absolutely love it. But this is what we do. When you liquidate this stuff, none of it is 1099 reportable. You go out and go buy a bunch of stock and make a profit. Now you owe capital gains. You're getting a 1099. What's worse is you can have a mutual fund that you make nothing on and you owe tax because they sell stocks within that mutual fund at a gain, generating capital gains. And you can literally pay a tax on a mutual fund that's gone nowhere. I had it happen to me back in the 90s or when I was in banking early. I was like, what's going on here? I couldn't understand it. I had to do some I understand it now. But as I was learning all that stuff, it just didn't make sense. I guess what I'm saying right now, folks, is Trump's in office. This is good. We are heading into a new phase. First, we are in a post 9/11 world, okay? 9/11 changed the world, changed it. We were peddling financial luxury to the globe through fiat currency. We were peddling and still do immorality to the globe. Our children are rebellious. They're out of control. You can see this spirit just in the vitriol towards Trump. The hatred towards Trump is absolutely, I'm sure you agree, It is insurmountably insatiable. You see people, I don't know if you watch the news, but they had these marches. Madonna, we all know Madonna's not a great person. I don't think I have to say, make sure you or anyone you know never does anything that lines the pockets of Madonna. But secondly, Ashley Judd, an actress, Ashley Judd, gave one of the most heinous, hideous, rancid speeches I could ever imagine coming out of a woman's mouth. Do not, under any circumstances, rent or buy anything that has to do with Ashley Judd. Absolutely get away. When you see these people, it's not because of their political views. It's because of their heinous crimes of verbosity. And I'll tell you what else, folks. With what's going on out there, this hatred and vitriol is absolutely out of line. And there are self-professed Christians. They tend to come from the major religion persuasions like the Catholic Church, Presbyterian, whatever. Not attacking the churches, but these major religious man-made organizations tend to have people lulled to sleep thinking they're believers while adhering to filthy agendas. Can you imagine the concept? And I've heard this out of people's mouths where they say, quote, Joe Biden, the vice president is one of them. Oh, yeah. I personally think abortion's wrong. I don't believe in it. I personally think abortion is the taking of a life. However, who am I to tell somebody else what to believe or do? So they're basically saying, I believe it's murder, but who am I to speak up and tell someone else they can't conduct murder? What has happened to this nation, folks? Where, you know, just like I said earlier in the show, thank God for his mercy, huh? Because we know what we deserve as a nation. But remember, God judges a nation by what his people do, by the prayers of his people. So you can be lost in the middle of a vicious, vile nation. And if his people reach out to him, he can heal their land. So we need to reach out to God and beg him to show mercy on this country. He's begun to do this, okay? Now, we're seeing interest rates start to rise. I have a variable rate on a mortgage, and I got a payment notice lately. My rate's going up. What happens when rates rise? Metals rise. What's ironic is we've seen this Trump bump, the power run in the markets, and simultaneously, we're still seeing a steady, soft but steady climb in the metals prices. This is not the way it historically operates. This tells me that what's going on in the markets is artificial. It's temporary. But this is giving you the perfect opportunity to get your money into solid assets. Folks, don't take the risk. We've got a lot of good, hopeful things ahead, but we're walking into a battle. We know we're in a spiritual time. The tensions in America are beginning to parallel the years of the Civil War. The left is losing their minds, folks. And as I've said, the Republican side, the conservatives seem to be the adults in this situation, and the left seems to be the children. Prepare yourself, protect yourself. Remember God's, you know, in the Bible, he created the heavens and the earth and man and woman and everything else. And then boom, straight in Genesis 2, he tells us about gold, where to get it. He gives us the highest complimentary rabbinical word in the entire Bible, Tav. He said it's good, it's great, it's phenomenal, it's blessing, it's the ultimate of ultimates, the best of the best. He tells us all about it right away. That is important to him. And then, I'm not kidding you, then he goes through over and over and over and tells us, the believers, to the Israelites, to get gold. I mean, whenever they conquered or anything, he said, that's mine, take it. Then we have an economy set up. He blesses our patriarchs over and over and over with gold. Gold and silver wealth, obviously. You know, we got Ezekiel. Then we go through where God. So we've got an economy. We've got blessed patriarchs, financially blessed. Gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. That's it. That's the true wealth on this planet. God set the rules in motion. That's what we play by. Not fiat currency, folks. We are operating in a tiny window of time. You're in the midst of it. It all makes sense. You're in the middle of a great party that's going to be busted soon. The cops are going to come in, kick down the doors, and seize assets. That's what's going to happen with all your paper investments, folks. I promise you. I can't tell you when, but I will tell you frauds end suddenly, and people have taken a beating already. You don't even need to have a market crash to lose your tail. I hear these stories every day. I get people bringing me in their papers from their portfolio, and I look through them, and it's heinous. Annuities. Folks, if you have an annuity, that's the single worst financial vehicle on earth. You're giving up all your money. You can't even access it. You're not making anything on it. You're being lied to. You need to get it out and get it where God wants you to have it. That's in His assets. Hard assets. I deal with estate after estate after estate. And I'm telling you, people that acquire this stuff do well. Christ comes to earth. The first thing he gets from God, the wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. He builds the temple out of solid gold. Then in the end times, it says they cast their silver in the streets and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They can't satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it. What does that tell us? It tells us that the final bell, they're in trouble. All hell's breaking loose. Their lives are on the line. They're all going to die. Gold and silver won't buy them salvation. What's the point? The point is, that's it. That's the final bell. God clearly shows us that it lasts until the end of the end of the end on this earth. I don't think he put that in there by accident. He said, I made it. I endorsed it. I've got it all over heaven. I put it all over the temple. I told you where to get it. I gave it to my son when he came here. I blessed every patriarch that I love with it. And it is going to last financially until the final day. Our founding fathers built our entire economy on it. The U.S. dollar quadrupled in strength in a less than a century under a gold standard. The dollar was the world currency. We changed the world. Now we manipulate. We've created poverty all over this globe. And we are pumping out monopoly money left and right while this big central bank sees asset upon asset upon asset because of debt. We have racked up, folks, unfathomable levels of debt. You can't even begin to imagine the amount of debt that we have. It's ironic. The Dow is at 20,000 as our deficit is at 20 trillion. That's been kind of a linear pattern. As the deficit grows, your spending power lowers. You know, we've got now Trump's going to have the weak dollar policy on a global basis. 401ks and IRAs, folks, you got a good time right now. Roll them out. Talk to us, partial, whatever. You can get the money out of them now. You won't owe tax for 16 months. Trump's going to lower the taxes on all that anyway. And it will be retroactive back to the beginning of the year. The growth in the metals will pay the taxes. I did it. My family did it. It works. and then it's yours, off the grid. Like I said, no 1099 reporting, nothing. Complete and utter privacy of your financial interests. You can carry it with you wherever you go. It's compact. It's immediately liquid, folks. It is universally recognized and accepted anywhere in the globe. Always has been. There's no exceptions. There is no reason to hesitate or draw back. There's no, you know, you can get the paper peddlers, stockbrokers, and they'll tell you not to because they don't even offer it. They can't even offer it. We can open up a money market. We can get you into any stock you want if you want. I wouldn't recommend it. But we offer everything. They don't. But I'm telling you, now's the time. Coins Plus, 444-0044, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through our website, coinsplus.com. Get yourself secured. I know there's people out there that have procrastinated. And if you're an if I coulda, woulda, shoulda, folks, give it up. That's the past. The past is behind. You can do nothing about it. Don't live in the past. Don't dwell on the past. Live in today. Do what's right today. If you know, for he who knows what's right to do and fails to do it, it's a sin. And what happens when we don't do the right thing and then we get the rug yanked out from under us and we're looking back going, I knew I could have. Folks, I've been there, done that. I've done a lot of different kind of construction projects, made some stupid decisions, paid some huge prices. I always know. That's what bothers me the most. I look back and I know what I should have done. Just do it. All you got to do is call us. We'll take care of you. We do this daily. It's not hard. It's easy. It's right. It's good. Give us a call. Let us help you secure your wealth in a biblical, godly, conservative financial manner. Pray for this nation. Pray for Trump. I declare, I prophesy he will come to know the Lord as president. So thanks again for tuning in. As always, we will be back again Friday, and I appreciate your support, and come see us. Bye-bye. Take care. God bless.